If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you turn with us to the first chapter of the book of the Ephesian letter, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And this was written approximately in 60 to 64 AD. Customs were different. Culture was different. Circumstances that Paul wrote this in was completely different because he was in prison. And he also wrote four other epistles at the same time, sent them out to one of them to an individual, others to the various churches. And I think Paul probably foresaw that there would be, while he was in prison, that there would be a need for people just recounting how that God has blessed them and what he has blessed them with. You know, for the days that are coming upon us, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what the circumstances will be, even at the end of this year. But we do know, as the song says, I know nothing about tomorrow, but I do know who holds my hand. And so we're going to read some scripture that is found in the first chapter of the book of the Ephesian letter. If you have your Bible, we ask that you read along with us. It's good to have Brother Al with us. We positioned him in the middle aisle, so if I say something wrong doctrinally, he'll be right on me. But I've always enjoyed being with Brother Al and revivals that we had gone to together, and the faithfulness to the Lord's work, the many souls that he touched in his preaching. We're just so grateful for it. Brother Al, we're glad to have you with us today.
I know, yeah. I'm just glad. As the scripture says, I'm just glad when they say, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless.
Yeah, and you know how thankful I am to come to God's here, to come to God. Oh, well, let me back.
Well, I tell you, Brother Al, I think you got some good chauffeurs there. And if they get to going too fast, you know, you just kind of remind them, you know, that they're going over the speed limit. I'm sure they won't, but I'm just being silly. Third verse of the first chapter is where we'll start today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and in patience and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. If correctly read, the 3rd through the 14th verses of Scripture written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Ephesus, our thought and our subject will come this morning from that very first verse that we read in your hearing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath, notice this, he says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that would be our thought for today. All the spiritual blessings that we've received in Christ. Whether we realize it or not, we're being blessed at this very moment. At the very fact that we have this opportunity to gather together and to feast upon the things of God. I'm thankful for Brother Al's testimony, for the songs that were sung, all giving glory unto God. And the fact that we can come together and that we can fellowship. The book of Jude tells us in one place, it talks about a common salvation. And I used to pore over that verse of Scripture and used to think, well, what's so common about it? It would be uncommon. But it is the same salvation. We're saved by the same Savior. We're saved by the same grace. The same sacrifice was offered. The same blood was shed for each and every one of us. And as I've said before, if you had been the only one who ever lived upon the face of the earth, and you were in need of a Savior, God would never have held back his son dying for you. In fact, he died individually for you. And we know today that the Bible tells us this isn't something that just happened by accident. Some people preach that, well, God sent Jesus and they rejected him, and so God came up with a new plan. But I want you to know that the Bible tells us, even as we read in your hearing, and as we brought forth, that this was something even before the very foundation of the world. In other words, before that this world was framed, that is the physical world, spiritual world, before that all was created by God, before that all of this that we see around us came into existence. And I want you to know it didn't come into existence just by happenstance. God created it. Amen. He spoke it into existence. In fact, I've read where that one rabbi has said that in our book, it says that God said light and there was light. God thought light and there was light. All of it just came from God. He didn't need a big bang as we think of it today. But my friend, I want you to know God brought it all into existence. And even before that foundation, we find that God looked down through the epoch of time and down through the ages of time. And he knew what he wanted. And he knew what he wanted to do. And we find that one of his crowning creations, the crowning creation, was going to be he would create man, male and female, in his own image and breathe into them the breath of life. Breathe into them life, a soul. And they have the capability of communing with God. Now, we have a little dog at home. And I can sit down and read, and sometimes I'll speak out loud, and all he does is circle around wanting me to take him outside. You know, he does not have that awareness. But God put into each and every one of us that awareness of God. And we find that God knew that man would sin, and he would bring death and sin into the world. And that it would pass upon all individuals, not just Adam and not just Eve, but even all of the offspring of Adam, which we are part of that family. And before that the foundation of the world was even framed, all that that we've described to you today, God already had it in mind that he was going to send a Redeemer He was going to send a Savior. And we find that the Bible tells us over in one place in the book of Acts, just a very small verse of Scripture, that Christ Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, has redeemed us. Think about that for just a moment. And I know I'm taking liberty with the Word of God and with everything that we've read in your hearing, but I believe that the Holy Spirit, God, and the Word, that is the Son, met in deliberation as to what was needed to redeem man. I believe, my friend, that they came into conference, if you will. Now, I just kind of dramatize that because, you know, God just immediately, automatically does something. But just think for a moment, the triune God had met. And as they met together, they deliberated, how can we redeem the man that is we are going to create, that will bring sin and death by sin into the world, that will bring the diseases, he'll bring all of the types of calamities that we see today because of sin. And you know, Revelation says over one place, above the earth was searched, beneath the earth was searched, and under the earth was searched, and there was not one found that could take the seals, that could open up the mysteries of God, the mystery of redemption. There was none that could do it. And the line of the tribe of Judah, if you will, Christ Jesus, the Word, step forth. I will become flesh. I will be born of a woman. I will live my life, yet without sin. I'll go into the very dregs of culture and society and walk among those that are sinners by choice, those that are bound, those that are blind in their sin. And I will reveal the majesty and the love of the Father unto them. And then to cap it off, I will redeem man by my fleshly death upon the cross. And I will shed my blood. But it doesn't end there. I will conquer death, and I will stamp out the reproach of death and the repugnancy of death for man, that all that are in me, all who have been saved, will not face an eternal judgment, but they will have that hope of, as the writer says in one place, of a better resurrection. That's what he did before you were ever born. It's hard for us to understand it. It's hard for me to understand it. But he has chosen you that have been redeemed. He has chosen you in Christ Jesus. Now, there'll be some things that we'll mention along with that, and I don't want you to misunderstand. I believe God gives unto man free will. I believe he gives unto him the opportunity to hear the gospel. And whenever that he feels that draw, he feels the puncture of his soul by the Holy Spirit, my friend, to prick at his heart, make him to know that he's lost and he's hell bound, he gives him the opportunity that he can choose to seek God and be saved and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, or he can reject it and accept all the consequences that goes with rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. So just kind of bear with me whenever that I speak about these things. I do believe salvation is for everybody because he died for all mankind. The Bible tells us that we are chosen in him before the foundation of the world. In other words, that we are chosen, that we have been selected to find salvation in no other Savior, God, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that for the moment. We live in a time where that it's a Charlie Brown religion anymore. You know what a Charlie Brown religion is? Well, it doesn't matter what you believe in, as long as you're sincere. Oh, I want to tell you, Jesus said in one place, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me. All the idols of the world, every type of translation that we can come out with that kind of changes it or kind of gives a different view of what God's will is. It doesn't matter. There's only one way unto God, and that's through and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has chosen us to find salvation, redemption through and in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. As he does that today, we find that he has predestinated us under the adoption of children. Now, that's a mouthful. But he has predestinated us, those that find God, he has predestinated us to adoption. You know, I've never adopted a child. I am very much in favor of people trying to take little children that are born, that are discarded, like just so much material, and adopt them and give them a home and an opportunity to live and to function. I'm all for it today. I'm not for killing them in the womb. I'm not for killing them whenever that they come forth. And I want to tell you something today. Just as Assyria, Babylon, some of the nations that we call great empires that practiced it. Yes, they practiced that. Even offering their children unto idols. There is a consequence for taking life like that. Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that, but God has predestinated us under the adoption of children. You know, you read over the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, and whenever David became king, the Bible tells us that he had previously made a covenant with Jonathan, Saul's son. And Jonathan had a son by the name of Mephibosheth. I'm glad I was able to not mispronounce that. But he had a son named Mephibosheth. He was lame in both legs because of a fall. And it came to David. He said, is there any left of the household of Saul and of Jonathan? And his servants told him, he said, there is one. His name is Mephibosheth, and he resides in Lodabar. And so David goes, and he brings and he summons Mephibosheth to come to him. And he was going to show him goodness. But you know, in Mephibosheth's mind, being called into the presence of a king, oh my goodness, he's going to do away with the entire household of Saul. I'm the last, one of the last ones, and he is going to now take my life. And so he came into the presence of David, being summoned before him. And the Bible says, who am I even as a dead dog that I should come before the king? Do you know what David did? He said, he didn't say, Mephibosheth, go take a bath. You kind of smell, you know, you're kind of grungy, you know, you got rags on. No, he reached down and he lifted that man up and he said, as long as I am king, you will eat at my table and you will sit at my table like one of my children. And that's what God does with us. He lifts us up out of the miry clay, out of the miry pit, and he sets our feet upon a solid rock. That solid rock is Christ Jesus, and there's no other foundation, no other wave unto mankind except through the Lord Jesus Christ. But he lifts us up. He sets us upon that rock, and thanks be unto God, there are some things in this world that are very solid, and salvation through Christ is one of them. My friend, there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby that we must be saved. But he predestinates us unto adoption. We were a child of Satan. When he saves us, we become a child of God. And you know, whenever that, and I'm kind of jumping back and forth here, but whenever that David would summon in his children, I can kind of imagine, you know, here comes Absalom, here comes Tamar, here comes all these beautiful, beautiful children, just so stately and everything. And then here comes Mephibosheth, kind of limping, kind of coming in, you know, maybe nobody will notice me, but I want to tell you, when they sat down at that table and that tablecloth covered their legs, my friend, nobody knew that the Mephibosheth was any different than any of the others. And that's how that the blood of Christ is today. My friend, it covers our sin. It covers and atones for us today. And when we sit down together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, I want you to know nobody knows. My friend, the devil will try, after you've been saved, to say, look at you. You're no good. You've done this. You've done that. You don't have any talents. You don't have this and that. I want to tell you something. When Satan does that to you, you go over to the 20th chapter and read out loud the 20th chapter of the book of the Revelation, where it says that Satan, the beast, and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. He knows what's coming. And I want to tell you, he has no right to accuse the brethren. But my friend today, that blood covers your sins, past, present, and future. My friend, God's not going to make another plan of salvation. Only through Christ Jesus today is he going to redeem people today. And that brings us to not only how that we're adopted, it brings us down to what is what I call the very hub of the wheel of salvation. You know, I never saw very many of these, but wheels have spokes in them. The old ones do. I don't think tires do. I never look. But anyway, wheels would have spokes. You know, they would radiate out. That was part of the fashion of it. That was part of the stability of that wheel. But what held it together? What made it work so that it didn't fall apart was a hub right in the middle. And redemption is the hub of salvation. Did you know that today? We are redeemed, the Bible tells us over in the book of Peter, not with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. What is redemption today? Whenever that I was a kid, oh, I hated this task. My mom collected trading stamps. And until I finally got a little bit of common sense to know that you could use a sponge, you know, I was licking those things. And I'll tell you, I swallowed enough glue that I could have supplied Elmer's company. But she would take those stamps. They were meant something to her. And she would, you know, put stamps in there. And she'd say, Paul Lindley, that's why they give you middle names. Paul Lindley, do you have that book finished? No, I'm watching Star Trek, Mom. You get that finished. Well, anyway, the point is, you put those stamps in, and you get the book filled. You collect the books, and you take them to a store, and you do what they call redeeming them. You redeem them. They've got a worth to them, and you trade that in for something that is of equal value. I don't know if you ever dealt with that, but anyway, that's what redemption is today. Not that you press in trading stamps of good works. There's none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. But my friend, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. In redemption, there's that aspect of it today. There's that part of it. It's hard to explain. But in redemption, a person is bought with a price. You hear what I say today? You're here today saved. You're bought with a price. You're not bought by good works, because there's none righteous, no, not one. You are bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he shed his life's blood. That's why that he came. That's why that he wore thorns upon his head. That's why his nailed feet were fixed to the cross. Similar to this, My friend, he paid a very dear price. And I want you to know, whenever that he shed his blood, it wasn't one or two drops. He shed it all. He poured it all out. Because, my friend, it takes the death and it takes the blood of Christ Jesus to redeem individually and collectively today. You're bought with a price. My friend, the very best that heaven had to hold was Christ. And that's who paid the price for us. And that's how precious your soul is to God today. Because he did not withhold anything at all in redeeming us or making it possible that we could be redeemed. Then there is that aspect to redemption where, that, my friend, the price is made. It's called for, and someone has to pay the price. Someone has to pay the price. I had the opportunity to go to a river town up north where that they reenacted how that it was to live in that town. And they had a slave block. I'd never seen one of these before, but it wasn't very big. And I don't have anything I can stand on to illustrate it, but it was a stone block. And, you know, people would gather around. And, my friend, they would take a family and they'd say, well, now, you know, this here father, he's a good field hand. And you know, I don't know about the mother and the kids, you know, maybe you can, you know, use them for something else. But, boy, he can bring you a lot in because he's got a worth today. And they would put that man, they would put that individual on that block, and they would start bidding. What's my bid for this field hand here? What's my bid for this individual? No, they didn't think of them as individuals. They were like auctioning cattle. I want to tell you, that's how we were. That's how we were. We were on the slave block of sin. We were sold and we were held in bondage. And we could not pay the price that was needed to redeem us from sin. But thanks be unto God in the fullness of time. Christ Jesus came forth, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from under the law. And my friend, he came up and he said, I've got the price. I will pay the price. And he pulled us away. And my friend, he redeemed us. Have you been redeemed? I want to tell you, if you've been saved, you've been redeemed. You have been bought with Christ. And we think about the other aspect of redemption. And that is, whenever that one is taken off of the slave block and the price has been paid, they have no right to bring you back and to put you there on that block again, spiritually speaking. In other words, when Christ paid the price, he paid it in full for you, never to go under the law, under bondage of sin again. In other words, when you're saved, you're saved. Now, I want to tell you something. It doesn't give us, grace doesn't give us license that because we're saved and we're going to heaven, doesn't give us license and that we can live like the devil. But I want to tell you something today. We should live for him that has redeemed us unto himself. We have in that forgiveness of sins. God takes away all the handwriting of ordinances that was written against us. In fact, we find over in the 14th verse of the second chapter of the book of the Colossians, it says that he has redeemed us, and he has, in the 14th verse, redeemed us, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, that was contrary unto us, and he took it out of the way. And where did it go? It went and was nailed to the cross, that there is now no more condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then Paul talks about how that we have no longer not only forgiveness of sin, but we also have an enlightenment from him. Now, I don't want to sound like a mystic, but you know, whenever God saves an individual, you have a new outlook. You have a new way of looking at people. I want to tell you something. When I was saved, the whole world looked different. I couldn't put my finger on it. couldn't do anything to try to explain it. But he gives us a new outlook. And then he seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. He seals it. Back in the days whenever the emperors would make something legal, they would put their seal upon it. And nobody was to break that seal. But you know, the same thing happens whenever that we're saved. We have that seal of the Holy Spirit, that evidence that we pass from death unto life. And no one is to break that seal and try to undo what God has done. It can't be undone. Now, I'll tell you something today. Your life is not your own. No. You've been redeemed with the blood of Christ. Your life is not your own. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Did Paul have a death wish? Well, he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see the one that he had met whenever that he was going to put the Christians in prison in Damascus. He wanted to see him. Oh, there's a song. Maybe Fanny Crosby wrote this. I don't know. But it says, "Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. In the streets of glory, as I walk around, cares all past, home at last, ever, ever to be at home." You have been given those gifts. And you know, I want to challenge you today. You know, go back and you read those in the third, from the third to the 14th verses of the book that I just read to you, Ephesians 1. And you think about that today. And as days get darker, and as we see things happening that we have no idea, we don't have any history in order that we can fall back on and look at and say, well, this is what they did. Because I want to tell you, it's coming down to the end as far as I'm concerned and as far as I can see. And I'm not trying to be a prophet of bad news or anything, but there is going to come a time whenever that God winds it down. But you know, if we're rooted and grounded in what we've been blessed with, all these things that I read and you're hearing, all these eight things, we've been blessed with them today. We've been made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. And I want you to know that God has pulled us into the kingdom through His Son. Don't neglect it. And whenever that we, I try not to bring politics into the pulpit, but I don't know who's going to be elected. I don't know. I really don't know. But I know I'm for Jesus. And I want to tell you, He's the only one who can straighten things out. And He's the only one today. And my friend, our eyes better be beyond the politicians. They're fine. They're good. Whatever. But I'll tell you, our eyes need to be upon Him in the days to come. Where are your eyes today? Who are you looking to? While we have a song, while we have a hymn, if you're here today and you're lost, you're unsaved, or you don't know where that you stand, or you have somebody that you're a friend with or relative that you don't know where that they stand, we invite you to come and pray with us, and we'll pray with you. Today, I think we may see the return of the cottage prayer meetings. More than just the Wednesday night, but the cottage prayer meetings where people gather together and they pray about the situations that are going on. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God bless you.